we can only act and present ourselves to disprove what others are saying negatively. Masonry, as well as the fraternity, and we take responsibility for each other, we are told many times in our ritual to consider everyone in the world, everyone who, just like expressed in the Bible, whoever you're coming across with as your neighbor. Joining something, you always have some preconceived ideas, and then that gives rise to expectations. When I was first asked by my spouse, June, why do you want to join Freemasonry? I didn't know a whole lot, and I said to her, I thought that there would be good men who would probably have a sense of humor, and I thought it would be beneficial to me as an individual, not knowing fully to what extent. I just essentially was the idea of good men. And it's entering the unknown, but because you're aware that certain individuals historically were Masons, or you discover a friend is a Mason, or a relative is a Mason, then in spite of all the negative comments made, you have to say, oh, these guys can't be that bad, because you know someone who is. Yeah, there's definitely a high standard introduced. There are various degrees, which are like ceremonies of instruction, morality plays, perhaps, and you're told to stand erect, for example, just a simple notion. Be proud of yourself. Dealing with the misconceptions. My own spouse is not supportive, even though I've known her for over 50 years. In a sense, she still doesn't trust me. She doesn't believe me when I tell her Masonry is not a world conspiracy. She doesn't believe me when I say we don't worship the devil. His name never comes up. What she's heard is what I faced for many years. One of my big regrets in life is that I heard only negative things about Masons until I was almost 40 years old. It's a terrible thing that Masonry has been maligned. It's a bit what's going on in world politics. It's been going on for centuries, where people aren't respecting that commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. When people are just saying, I heard so-and-so say, without knowing it personally, they're spreading lies, and it's poison. It affects people and their thought process and their activities. It ruins people's lives. It takes away their time. So what I regret is, I wasn't introduced to Masonry by honest people earlier in life. I would have been happy to join at age 21. It would have been beneficial to me. There's an old saying, if you can't say anything good about someone, don't say anything. And that's accumulated wisdom from the past. And that should be true even now. Unless an individual has personal awareness, they should not be spreading lies and saying something negative and demeaning. Like, how many charities are suffering from lack of funds because someone said something bad? It isn't true. And besides, someone can have a bad day, but that doesn't affect the whole organization. There are lots of wisdom sayings like, one bad apple doesn't mean that the whole barrel's bad. Masonry is, in many ways, a lifelong journey, and you learn to discover yourself. And there are parallels in other situations, especially religious. For example, Jesus said, someone who puts his hand to the plow and then leaves the field isn't fit for the kingdom of God. So we use the expression nowadays, something can be a misfit. A minister may apply to a church, and after a few weeks, both sides, especially the congregation, might say, that guy doesn't fit, this person doesn't fit us. And then there's contention, and you have to figure out ways to discard them. So an individual, maybe you don't know yourself, you aren't aware of your own interests, and Masonry becomes an opening to help discover yourself, and you might indeed say, it doesn't suit me, and that could very well be the case. But if it does suit you, meaning you discover that it's a way to advance your character, which, by the way, is the essence of happiness. Happiness is the result of doing what's right. And Masonry teaches that very much, because it's a moral system. Happiness, That's a very good word, used a lot in our modern world, but not always understood. Because there's a significant difference between what Mortimer Adler called psychological happiness, which sounds like buying a brand new car, or meeting a new boyfriend, girlfriend, and then ethical happiness. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, in the same era as Socrates and Plato, which is like 400 BC, was very careful in defining terms and words. And he pointed out in his book, Nicomachean Ethics, that book was attributed to his son, the way I understand it, Nicomachus. So it's like, hey son, here are some instructions. He defined happiness essentially as the result of doing what is right. And when you do what's right, you experience happiness. And it isn't fleeting, it's permanent in that sense. And when the American launched the revolution against Great Britain in the 1770s, and then they wrote the Declaration of Independence, and they used the expression the pursuit of happiness, they meant ethical happiness as was described by Aristotle. And curiously, you've got hundreds of millions of people in America and the world who don't understand what the word meant at the time. As misery made me happy in many ways. And that's another curious thing. You don't know if you're successful to the day you die, because you might screw up the last hour. But I generally think I'm happy because I do try to practice morality. In many ways, life is a burden, like Pilgrim's Progress, John Bunyan. Only at the end of life do you put the burden down. But Aristotle essentially was saying, when you do what's right, then you acquire, or you're blessed with, internal ethical happiness. Now, recently I heard about a situation where a man was describing his father in Turkey. It was about 2 years ago, and they both discovered that they were Masons. They promptly signed a deal worth over $1 million with a handshake. They were living the principles of Masonry. So, in every activity, the essence of Masonry, which is morality, you try to do the right thing. And if you don't, you apologize. It's a big subject in the sense that you're, with life's phases, when you're young, you got energy. When you're old, don't have so much. And you just change your focus a little bit. And you can't be so readily involved in everything, perhaps. Masonry will help you to discover yourself. If you respect the ritual, and there's a lot of ritual, especially if you go to the advanced degrees, and they will enable you to know yourself. Knowing yourself is part of the lifelong journey. And I was just rereading, one of my classmates wrote a book where he had a crisis at about age 50, but he wanted to quit and give up. As if he made a discovery about himself at that point, and he wasn't happy with what he saw. So you got David, or at least in the Bible, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And therefore, knowing yourself is very important, because we're taught as Masons to respect wisdom literature and to learn from it. If you're honest with yourself, then it helps you discover who you really are, what your limitations are, and then along the way you respect them. Has Masonry helped me know myself? Yes. Like, that's partly because when you're interacting with brothers, they'll think of the charge when the officers are installed, where you're told, where the wards are told, what in others you have seen are defective, you try to improve upon it. You know what I mean? So being a member of a fraternity where generally people have goodwill towards you, then you can learn what from others, from there, and critiquing them and say, well, what he did was a mistake for the craft or for himself, for his family, it could be anything. And then you learn from it. So that's one way that Masonry is beneficial, because for the most part, Masons want to encourage each other and support each other and empathize with each other, share pains and sorrows and joys and pleasures.